Today is Palm Sunday, as Jason already mentioned, and he read our scripture this morning. So the topic today is Jesus' humbling triumph. Jesus' humbling triumph. Now get that in your mind. Your triumphant moment is your most humbling moment. One quality that God seems to be continually working into my life is humility. He takes every opportunity he can. And I blame it on him. It's not me that does it. It's him that makes me do the mistakes that bring humility in my life. Right? We can blame it on God. Not really. I do and say some of the worst things at the wrong time. I'm not as bad as my dad, but I'm pretty close. If there were one disciple that I would want to be like, it would be the Apostle John. Since that's my name already. But he was the one that Jesus loved, right? John had a very deep and close relationship, not because Jesus loved him in a way that was, he was trying to give John special favor, but John believed Jesus loved him, and that allowed Jesus to love him more. So I would love to be the Apostle John, but I'm really most like Peter. Peter was always trying to impress Jesus, and he was always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, and he humiliated himself over and over. This week I did that at one of my locations. Actually, it's a former location that I used to take care of. They were dedicating a new building, so we went out to celebrate with them and pray over the new facility and pray over their business and the employees. And many of you know Dan Rainey, my boss. He came and preached for us late last year while we were gone. And he asked me to make sure that we point out, you know, who the boss of this place is. And it's been a while since I've taken care of them. All I remember, well, he's got a white mustache. All right, I'll be able to find him. Well, white mustache walks in, and I'm like, hey, Dan, this is Gary. And the guy's like, hi, my name is Robin. So embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to even tell you about this. It was humiliating. It was awful. And the real Gary walked in, and thankfully it was obvious why I missed, and I'm just telling you that because I don't want you to think as poorly of me as the situation actually was, because of my pride. Humiliating. And, you know, my mistake became the icebreaker of the day. It became, oh, he's Gary too, and he's Gary too. It was horrible. So it was hard for me to share that story with you, but I did. And so I need you to laugh a little bit more. Just, you see, my pride tells me that I should only share the good things about me with you. I should only try to help you to believe that I'm successful and I'm strong and I've got it all together. And I'm certainly not going to tell the stories that make me look otherwise. And you guys know that I make a lot of mistakes. I do a lot of stupid things. You know, it's crazy. Humility in our lives is important. And it comes in so many different ways. But most of it comes from my decisions, my stupid mistakes. I can't even change my oil without there being a big problem. Changing the oil is an easy thing to do normally. Well, this is two times it would have been cheaper for me to take it to the dealership to get my oil changed. So just to throw this in there, a couple of weeks ago I was changing my oil, and I took the oil filter off, and the O-ring on top of the oil filter stayed on the car, and I did not know it. So when I put the new one on, I thought, that feels a little weird. No, this should be fine, and I went ahead and screwed it on anyway. And I was on the phone with Mom, actually, when I got in the car. I got everything pulled away, and I got in the car, and I started it up, and it sounded like my car vomited on the floor. And I go, no, 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 no. She thought I was dying for something. I said, Mom, I got to go. There was a puddle of oil this big around under my car. Where do you start with that cleanup? It was horrible. Humiliating. Later, Angela comes out, and she just looks and goes, huh. I guess this wouldn't be a good time to ask if you'd like to go with me. No, it would not. humiliating. We're all trying to be legit, aren't we? We want to be legitimate. I want to be legit. I want you to be able to count on me. I want to be that person in your life that has it together. But reality is, as much as I try, and sometimes as hard as I try, it only makes it worse. Am I alone? Thanks, Caleb. You know, we look at Facebook and we think everybody on Facebook has it all together. Why? Because they present it as such. And there's a guy that was in the youth group in our Oklahoma church that owns a business now, a small business owner. And he makes it look like he's the most successful one in his business. Hey, Francis. Hey, guys. Come on in. Good to see you. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I'm going to just start over because you need to hear everything I just said. So we're grateful you made it so that I don't forget. Just in case that works, let me know. All right. So we look at Facebook and, well, there's this guy in Oklahoma City and he looks like he's got this great, you know, successful business and he talks about it. And recently and I understand when he was a teenager at the church, he was one of those guys that was kind of overlooked by the girls and he wasn't one of the popular kids. And now if you look at Facebook, man, he has arrived and he took his wife and bought a brand new Escalade for her and you know, post the video on Facebook. And you'd think that this guy's whole life is successful and how successful he's become. And this is what we want to portray. This is how we portray ourselves. And it's pride that makes us want to do that. When the reality is, we know that this guy's life, he's got some struggles in it. We don't wish it on him. But what is reality? Reality is we all have humiliating moments. We all have times that we struggle. We all do stupid things. I just have to be the one to get up and tell everybody about it so that you understand I'm in it with you. We all want to have that moment in life, though, where we get to shove it in someone else's face. You didn't believe in me. You didn't think it was possible. But look what I did. We all want that moment. We want people to know that we lived beyond their expectations. And we've arrived. But that isn't the story of Easter at all. And it certainly is not the story of today. Of all the things Jesus could have done to come back and stick it to us and say, "You crucified me, but look who I am." He didn't. He didn't come back wearing a bunch of gold and bling and walking through town going, "Check me out." He didn't do that. The Sunday before Jesus was crucified kind of set the tone for the whole Passion Week. And that's what we're celebrating today, Palm Sunday. It set the tone for the whole Passion Week. You understand, the Passion of Christ, the Passion Week, is what we're beginning today. It's about Jesus going into Jerusalem, and that's his last time to enter the town. And as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, there were a bunch of people, as Jason read earlier, that had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. And these people came into Jerusalem and they were all excited and they were stirring it up. They're saying, "Guys, this guy is legit. He is the bomb. He heals people. He raises the dead. We saw him do it with our very own eyes. This is it. He is the Messiah that we've been waiting for." And they got the whole town stirred up. And you read the scripture and it says the crowds were swelling. People were getting excited. Well, they were like, "Man, we got to provide a parade. This guy's coming in town. We need to provide a parade for him." So they started breaking off palm branches and HOAs were going nuts. And everybody was frustrated, you know, with the green tree crew. And they were saying, "Man, quit. You're going to tear our trees up." "Yes, we are. But this is the Messiah." So they took the palm branches and they lined the city streets. And they were waiting for Jesus to come in because they were so excited about it. So they started creating this makeshift parade and to welcome Jesus. And before entering Jerusalem, Jesus knew that this is what they were doing. He could see the stirring. And Jesus told two of his disciples to go to a nearby village. He said, go over there, and as soon as you enter the village, there's going to be a colt donkey. Now, what's a colt donkey? A very young donkey. And when they're very young, that means what? They're very small. And he's going to be tethered there. He's going to be tethered. You bring him to me. And if somebody says, what are you doing? You tell them the Lord needs it. Sure enough, they go over there and there's the colt donkey. And they look. Hey guys, come on in. Good to see you. Sure enough, someone asked. And it wasn't just somebody that asked. It was the owners of it that asked. Now, if you're the owner of a donkey and you're sitting there and you're hanging out and somebody comes in and starts untying your donkey, what are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, what are you doing with my donkey? They asked. And what did they say? And it was kind of like a Star Wars moment where they had been given these secret words to say and it would put the people in a trance. They said, the Lord needs it. Okay. And they let him go. It's kind of a weird scenario, isn't it? So bringing it to Jesus, they started throwing their coats over the donkey's back so that Jesus could climb up on it. In preparation for today, I did a lot of searching on Google for this because I really wanted to make sure that you had a visual of what really took place 2,000 years ago on this day. And I wanted to see what it would look like for a small guy or for a guy to ride a small donkey and one that has never been ridden before. So here's what it would look like to see one. And it was a donkey that Jesus had, he said, it's never been ridden before. So here's what that looks like in reality. We do understand that Jesus was capable of communicating with the animals. Kind of interesting. I mean, he communicated with the fish at one point. He also communicated with a tree at one point when he cursed the tree. So it's kind of interesting that he's capable of doing that. Well, I mean, he's God. He can do that, right? If he can't do that, then he's not God. He can do that. So this is one of those big prophetic moments, though, that Prophet Zechariah had prophesied that this would take place. And hundreds of years before Jesus was born, he wrote this. Shout and cheer, daughter of Zion. Daughter Zion, raise the roof. Daughter Jerusalem, your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right, a humble king riding a donkey, a mere colt, a young donkey, was prophesied hundreds of years before this. And Jesus chose to do this for a reason. He's a good king, and look what it says, he's a humble king. A good king and a humble king. Jesus was communicating something. This was not an accident. This was a decision. This wasn't a failure to find a nice stallion. This was a choice. This was a decision that Jesus made. Why? The world rejected Jesus then, and the world rejects Jesus now because they believe he's a big threat. And Jesus was trying to communicate something very important for us to grab onto today. People don't reject Jesus because he's mean. People don't reject Jesus because he was rude, or even because they don't believe he exists. People don't reject him for those reasons. They say that they do, but that's not why people reject Jesus. People reject Jesus because to accept him means we have to change our lives. Because if he's God, and then that means he has the authority to tell us how to live our lives. And until they accept him and begin to live life his way, they don't realize how good it is and how freeing it is. Even though it's difficult, it's good, it's healthy, it's strong, and you become stronger in your life. And when you talk to someone who declares to be an atheist, if you can get them to be honest with you for just a moment in time and get them off of all the issues as to why they don't believe. The real issue is that they just don't want to change their life. That's the bottom line. And to believe in God means that they would have to change it. And their perception of Jesus is that He is some egotistical know-it-all. And a lot of perception comes from the people who claim to follow Jesus. And a lot of that problem is our problem to change and our problem to fix, isn't it? But this ride into Jerusalem was everything but that. Jesus was communicating quite the opposite of what people believe He is. He was willing to lay down His life to show you how much He loves you and wants to live. But it was more than that. He was willing to show you how humble He is. He was willing to come and say, I don't have to be all that. In fact, this is part of the reason why so many people don't believe in Him. Because He did not come in with the authority and power that He has and put it on full display. He came in and healed, helped people, gave us life, and died for us. That's different than what the world says is successful. No one that is power hungry would go find a donkey to ride into town in their biggest moment. What would the preachers do today? Guys, get the offering buckets. We're going to get a jet from this one. The people were excited. He had raised the dead. People were healed. Man, the whole town was stirring. The crowd was swelling. It was unbelievable what was about to take place. And what does Jesus do? Go get the little colt donkey. Jesus could hear the people shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming King of kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven is what the people were shouting. He could hear it. Clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. As He's coming closer, the people are getting excited because they can tell it's about to happen. He's going to come through, and then here comes Jesus with His feet dragging the ground, riding a donkey. What a moment. Why would it have been wrong for Jesus to ride in on a stallion? One, it would have been more of a threat to the Jewish people and the government leaders, which possibly would have sped up the impending death, thwarting God's timing for Him to die during Passover. Now let that sink in. It would have possibly sped up His death. If He had come riding in on a stallion, what were the charges brought against Jesus this coming week? That He's a king and He's come to take over. He's the Messiah to the Jewish people, but to Rome, it was He's a king and He's come to take over. So what happened? What would have happened if He came riding in on a stallion? Ba ba ba, I'm here. I've come to take over. And He's got all these followers. And all these followers are going to come and they're going to come behind Him. And they're going to take over Jerusalem, which was Roman territory at the time. So it would have sped up His death. Why is that important? Because all of this was set into place, the timing of what's about to happen this week, 2,000 years ago, was set in place. Passover had been celebrated for over 1,000 years at this point by the Jews. And they were going to see Jesus come to a place of death, burial, and resurrection, just as they had been celebrating all this time, on the time that it's the schedule that it was supposed to be. Not only that, but an eclipse was scheduled to happen. That following Friday, when Jesus was hanging on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was an eclipse when God flung the stars and all the moons and solar system into place. That was set in place in the timing of God for 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. And it happened. And that's when Jesus died. What a beautiful story. The timing would have been set off. And Jesus knew it. Secondly, people would have completely missed his purpose for dying. They would have completely missed it. If he had just come riding in on a stallion and looked really cool and looked awesome, they would have completely missed the whole point. Jesus came to die for our sins, to carry the weight of our burden so that we could have life. And if he had come riding in on a stallion, they would have thought, oh man, our leader is dead. And they would have never given a thought as to why he really died. Number three, Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified and humiliated. He knew it. Whereas triumphantly riding in on a white horse at the beginning of the week and being brutally crucified at the end of the week would make him a loser. But when he comes riding in on a donkey, what is he communicating? I'm not here to set up my kingdom on this earth. I don't want to look impressive to you right now. I'm about to be put on a cross so that you can come to life spiritually. And if I came in looking all triumphant and glorified, you guys are going to miss what's really about to happen. So let me ask you, what does this say to you? What is our takeaway today? James David, would you come? What do you get from this? It's beautiful. What's the condition of our heart today? Listen, if you're like me, you want to win, you want to be legit. But if you're really like me, you've found out the harder you try, the harder it is, and the more difficult it is to get something that's not real. So one of the things I think that we can get from this church, is accepting one another as we are, loving one another as we are, letting you fail so long as you keep trying, and so long as you and I keep making things right. You don't have to be great to be a part of this church. You just need to be God's. Amen? Anything else that we should take away from this for our church? So as we go into this week, let's do it in humility. Pride goes before destruction. But what comes after humility? Exaltation. By who? By God. He gives grace to the humble and He lifts us up. And if God lifts you up, if God is for us, then... So as we go into this week, let's humble ourselves. Let Jesus do His work in us. We don't need to look successful. We don't need to even be successful. He will make us successful. His way. Jesus wasn't interested in being some rock star, was he? That's what they tried to make him. Jesus took all of that away. Imagine a rock star pulling up in a Pinto for a concert. Anybody here even know what a Pinto is? It's not a bean. Imagine all this crowd in this. He walks in. It's okay. Would you bow your head? If you're trying to be more than you are, stop. Stop. If the pressure of Facebook and the people around you looking so good is getting to you, stop. God wants you just as you are. If you think we've all got this sin thing figured out, let me tell you, we haven't. But we are great dealers in grace because of what He has taught us. And God wants to lavish His grace on us. You say, but John, I've done too many wrong things. I've seen too many things and I've done too many things. My hands are dirty. My brain is dirty. And I don't see how God can do anything with me. That's pride. That's pride. And it's going to destroy you. But He gives grace to the humble. I don't deserve it. That's right. That's why it's called grace. It's unmerited favor. You can't earn it. You can only receive it. And let God do it in you. So as we begin this Passion Week, we don't pridefully come together today. In humility, we say, God, thank You. Thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. Fill our lives. Fill my life. Make me a new person. God, I understand that coming to You means that I will have to change. Change my way of thinking. Change where I go. What I do. But God, I understand now that it's not because You're some great rule maker. It's because You want me to be healthy and strong and have strong relationships in my life. You want me to be a good husband or a good wife. You want me to be a good friend, a good, loving church member, a part of the body of Christ. So I turn my life over to You, and I want to learn Your ways that I may be strong, that I may be healthy. I humble myself today. Help me to be a servant. In Jesus' name. God, help us as a church family to embrace the call to serve this community, not to present ourselves in any other way than servants, people who love people. Help it to start right here in this room today, to serve, to love, to honor, to protect, to lift each other up. In Jesus' name.